Okay, so we're going to start in with chapter 11. And this is a great lesson just because I think that it's something that is really confused, abused, and misused in our generation. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to provide a lot of clarity to a lot of things that we read about, but we kind of just slosh over it thinking it's not for this time. But I'm going to show you how some of the things that you don't think are for this time really are for this time, and they can really enhance your relationship. So when I was dating my husband, I thought we had so much in common. I thought we were just like this perfect match. And then as soon as you get married, you start to realize, wow, we are really different from each other. Yep. So, I mean, my husband thinks things out and weighs the options out, and I'm making this decision like lightning. Right. So you start to realize how different you really are, and you're thinking, do we have any common ground, you know? But we are different. And I think that God strategically did that. He's like, okay, they have a very short time on earth. What's the quickest way I can get them to not be selfish? I'll have them get married, the two sexes. They'll either have to learn to be really unselfish or they won't make it. So I think it's a quick way to learn to be unselfish is to be married. But, you know, sometimes you just look at your spouse and all the differences in your background, the way that you were raised, and all the different, even just the little things like the holidays and the way that you make it through troubled situations and everything. And you can realize that a lot of times your spouse's actions, or sometimes their inactions, you know, are really different than yours, and your upbringings are different. I love the book Sacred Influences by Gary Thomas. A lot of times I actually give that book for a wedding gift because it's a really deep book. But Gary Thomas says in that book, to influence a man, you have to learn to talk his language. Many marital problems arise not because of an issue between people, but because of a breakdown in understanding between male and female. Mm-hmm. So he says, I hope to give you an insider's view of the male mind so that you'll learn how to better understand and communicate to your husband. He said neurological studies show that men take up to 7 hours longer than women to process emotional data.
Okay.
So 7 hours. Can you even imagine? No. That's quite a bit. So in other words, if you have a disagreement just after breakfast, and a woman will take like 15 minutes to get a grip on her emotions and why she feels angry, your husband is not going to be there until dinner time. You know? So hence the thing, trying to solve things when you snap your fingers. Right. Sometimes men need time to process.
Right.
Michael Gurion, I love his studies on the differences between the male brain and the female brain, because he's really scientific about it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I love all that kind of stuff because I think it just proves what we know the Bible says, but it's so interesting to see physically how it shows the differences. But he said that there's changing stages that exist during the life of a relationship, and how we handle those stages can make or break a marriage. So understanding behavioral differences can be the key. And we have to understand that that we're really different. And that's how you make love that lasts a lifetime. And that's why a lot of times in these lessons, we look at things that go through seasons and tweaking and evaluating and, you know, seeing what's working, seeing what's not working. It all adds up together. But ultimately, men realize that women are right. A relationship is doomed if there's not enough togetherness. Mm-hmm. But then men are right too. There's going to be trouble if there's not enough independence too.
Right.
So we need to find that balance. Mm-hmm. You know, when we are so close that one person doesn't allow the other person to be himself or to survive, the marriage isn't going to survive. So when we understand our chemistry, that is the key. But he gives the key to a successful marriage as couples live together, raise children, love and are loved, not because they could become the same as each other. Mm-hmm. In fact, because they've learned to be happily different. And you can really look at some of the established marriages that are really happy, and they've given up that frustration over trying to make the other person be like them. Right. They've realized that the other person is different, and they right. think differently sometimes. Sometimes you're not going to agree. Sometimes you're not going to get him to see your point of view because he just doesn't have it. And I think that is a key to harmony in a relationship, right. is realizing and respecting each other's differences, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I always say, God gave man a free will. Why do we try to take it away from him?
Right.
You know, I mean... So yeah. we want to be careful we don't take away our spouse's individuality. Now, sometimes women say right away, well, there's some things we could do without. Right. But you know what? There are some things that make him, him. And there's exactly. some things that yeah. no matter what, he might not ever change. Yeah. So why waste half your life trying to make that yeah. happen? Yeah. Just learn that you're going to be happily different. If you want a really good discussion on the differences between male and female thinking patterns, Michael Gurion's book, What Could He Be Thinking? How a Man's Mind Really Works, is interesting. But learn to appreciate that your husband is going to be happily different from mm-hmm. you, and learn to make that okay. You know, a lot of times I'd be counseling somebody and I would look at a woman and I'd say, well, it sounds like you want to be married to a mirror.
Right.
You just want yeah, someone that thinks like you.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
In other words, you love yourself and you can live with yourself, and you just want a mirror image of yourself. Well, that's just not realistic.
No,
so,
no.
So what is a good marriage all about? There's a divine order of marriage, and there's some principles that haven't changed. Even though the times have changed, they still haven't changed. We are wired differently, and we have different roles within marriage. A man's role is leader, protector, and servant. A woman's mm-hmm. role is helper, respecter, and homemaker. And again, if you look at marriages, I will say that a preponderance of the time, they are following this kind of a pattern,
right.
you know. Yeah. But it's not just a result of custom or tradition. This is divinely appointed. God gave man the responsibility to rule his household, keeping his children under control and keeping them respectful. And Paul in the New Testament said the husband's the head of the wife. Mm-hmm. And so as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be. There's an authority from Christ to the husband, and that authority is from God. And we have to put ourselves under husband's authority. That's good behavior. Now, before acknowledging leadership roles in a marriage, Paul was quick to remind us what kind of heart the leaders are supposed to have. Place yourselves under each other's authority out of respect for Christ. In other words, we're to submit to each other. Mm-hmm. Because when God intends, the way that God intends a man to lead is in order for him to really submit himself to the needs and wants of his wife as well.
Right.
We're to submit to each other, and mm-hmm. that is what makes a really good leader. It was cute because I had my granddaughters over decorating the Christmas tree and having some fun together, and my one little granddaughter, so cute, and she kept making the announcement, now I am the president of the love club. So I say we, and she'd like say what she said, and I said, well, and then she would be helping everybody, and I said, see why you are the president? Because the Bible says that if you're going to be the greatest, you're the servant of all.
Right,
so,
right.
you know, she yeah. was realizing the, you know, dichotomy between the role of you're in charge, but what does that mean? It
yeah.
means that you have to serve and think of and consider everyone
else.
Underneath your
yeah.
authority.
Yeah.
So you know, a lot of times there's a lot of abuses in leadership. And so we've kind of cast out the baby with the bathwater kind of
yeah.
thing. So,
yeah.
but it makes sense that someone has to take the lead in a relationship, because even business advisors, they'll tell you 50-50 doesn't work. You need mm-hmm. that deciding vote.
Right.
You know, and even in our love club, we have to have my husband give the deciding vote if we're at a tie on some of the things that we vote for.
Right, right.
You need the tiebreaker.
Yeah, yeah.
So the husband should be the tiebreaker. And it says what it means to be in charge. He says, whoever's the greatest is going to be the servant. And he came to serve. So I think that because of the redefinition of the family and undermining of men's roles in the media, which is just, I would say, a social assault
mm-hmm.
at best,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, but I think that we don't realize the freedom that authority is meant to be for us. We look at it as a bondage because we've tried to cast out any kind of restraint or any kind of person lording over us. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think a lot of people have just thrown it all out. a lot of times when a woman chooses to acknowledge her husband as a leader, he rises above the status quo. And I'll tell you, one person had come to the class and she said that it saved her so many counseling classes if she would have just known that her husband was supposed to be the head of their house.
Right.
It's not even told in counseling or anything.
Right.
And that is so sad because, yeah. I mean, a man is not going to rise up to something unless they are respected in that position too.
Right.
A lot of times they won't fight for it.
Right.
And they'll just succumb. And then that kind of just offsets the whole balance and the whole freedom that we have as a result of letting our husbands take charge of the decisions and the repercussions.
Right.
And that's a freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't have to be in charge. That is a blessing.
Right.
But our gift of influence, we're going to see, is a huge one too.
Right.
And what we can have to say about things. But we don't even say those words in the marriage ceremony a lot of the times. I think there's been so much abuse. A lot of times men use the thing like, oh, the husband is the head of the wife. And they use that to hammer. And, you know, then what I say goes, where you're going to work and what you're going to wear. And I think there's been so many abuses.
Exactly.
That we're afraid
right.
to submit to an authority or to acknowledge that someone's in charge.
Right.
And that is really a tragedy. So we're going to get a really good understanding of this provocative piece of scripture. As the woman, we have the right to choose the dynamics of our marriage relationship, and we have the freedom to put ourselves under his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big freedom. But we choose obedience. I like that word, obedience. I always liked it because even with kids or any kind of authority at work
right.
or anything,
right
smack in the middle of that word obedience is D-I-E. And you have to die to yourself sometimes to
right.
honor somebody that's in authority over
right.
you. You can't always get your own will. And anyways, to me, it's like, someone sometimes needs to get their own way. Like, someone's got to be the tiebreaker. Why should it be you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be someone. So you're saying, you know, a lot of women that say, shouldn't be my husband. So you think it should always be you?
Right.
And that a man is meant to always, acknowledge your ability to
mm-hmm.
be the lead in that relationship? I think that there's a skew.
Mm-hmm.
But Gabriella Reese, she said that she got her marriage back on track. She was living in the forefront. I think she's a big sports figure, but she is a very big public figure.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she lived out an old-fashioned dynamic and went to traditional gender roles. And boy, she created a firestorm in the process because the Today's host had her on and everybody was just in an uproar because she was
right.
acknowledging traditional values.
Right.
And she said, I think the idea of living with a partner is, how can I make their life better? So if I'm the woman and he's the man, and that's the dynamic, and I'm willing and I choose to serve my family and the husband because it creates a dynamic where he acts more like a man and more masculine and treats me the way I want to be treated, which is cherished, and I'd like someone to look after me. She said, I think because we have the ability to set the tone, the ultimate strength, and showing real power is creating the environment. That
mm-hmm.
alone is a sign of strength.
Yeah.
And it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we've distorted women's rights to mean, instead of us having a right to choose, we made it mean that we have the right to be just like a man.
Right.
And that is not what women's rights mean, is that mm-hmm. you are supposed to become more like a man.
Right.
It's supposed to mean that you have rights as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Which are just equal to a man, but
right.
different.
Right.
We're not the same. But certainly, the last thing on the minds of pop psychologists and liberated 21st century human beings is that in order to be fulfilled, we submit to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just not in the, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
radar. But Jesus said, if you want to gain your life, you have to lose it. If you want to be the greatest, you're going to be the servant, and you submit to each other. But submit to us, you know, it just signifies ultimate loser. Someone else is ruling over you
mm-hmm.
and you have no control. So submissive is sometimes defined as meaning no voice. And it's just a sad and pitiful definition of an empowering concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, But mutual submission is not about one person winning and one person losing. That is not what it is. It's not a one-way street. We submit to the husband, but we also tell husbands to submit to their wives and children to parents and even parents to children sometimes.
Right, right.
So what Jesus wanted to happen is that we never have to worry about fighting for power and position and building up our self-esteem. We should never have to worry about ourselves mm-hmm. because other people are concerned and thinking about us.
Right.
So we're not all having to grab for the straw and grab for the gusto and what we can get out of it because we're more concerned with what we can give to the others in our relationships. Yeah. And we know our needs are getting met because they're considering us mm-hmm. in the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
And it is literally heaven on earth when it's operative.
Right.
But we've skewed it so much that we don't let it empower us. We make it seem like it demeans us when it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not the deepest reason to submit. It's not just because of what we get out of it. Although mm-hmm. we do get a lot out of it. We mm-hmm. get freedom from mm-hmm. having to make all the decisions. That's mm-hmm. a big freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I have a daughter and she's a dentist, but she works for, you know, she could have had her own practice,
mm-hmm.
but she wanted to find a practice that she could really admire and like their procedures and everything. And she likes the freedom that they choose and make a lot of the decisions, and she doesn't have to worry about that.
Right.
And she can just worry about being the best dentist she can be.
Right.
And so there is a lot of power that she has by submitting to the rule of the authorities at her work rather than having to assume all of that responsibility.
Yep.
And we're losing out on that power when we don't realize when we submit, we don't have to carry all that on our shoulders either.
Right.
So, but the real reason for submission is said right in that scripture verse. It says that we do it out of reverence for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we do it, because we trust him. And we said, he's in charge. He's Lord. So we have to trust his ways are going to mm-hmm. be higher than our ways
mm-hmm.
and more, and they're better for us. So, I mean, that's why I think, I remember when I used to read that it said that Sarah used to say to Abraham, "Yes, Lord." And she did it with no fear, it says in the Bible. And I used to read that scripture. And what I pictured wasn't that she was calling Abraham Lord. It was that she was saying, "Okay, Abraham," and she was really looking up and saying, "Yes, Lord," to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to do that knowing that God had her back.
Right.
That's what enabled her to do it without fear.
Right.
You know, so, but it's not like putting ourselves down when we submit. It's lifting somebody else up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a husband submits to his wife, it's to help her become the best person that she can be in Christ. And when he lifts her up, and then in the same process, he's lifted up from considering her.
Right.
And that's the way it is when we submit to our husband's, you know, authority in our home.
It's a mutual
submission. And it helps our husband to live up to some things
mm-hmm.
that sometimes we don't get the freedom of not making the decisions.
Yeah.
And so we fight to make the decisions. And her husband's like, "Fine, I didn't want to make that decision anyways. Let her make it."
Yeah.
And then he realizes, wow, there's some freedom not being the one having to consider all these ramifications.
Yeah.
And then it's put on our shoulders. But yet, in the process, he's not lifted up to be a stronger ruler in your family. And I think that that's where men do lay it down and mm-hmm. the women pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't have the men that we want because we've kind of taken all that inspiration and responsibility away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not rising up to the position
because
mm-hmm. we've usurped it.
Right.
So, but, you know, when we do submit, we are all lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that, you know, when you consider somebody else and then they rise up to be, you know, like even your children, like
mm-hmm.
when they were transitioning into adulthood and then you considered what they needed and let them go in that and you acknowledged and honored their, you know, decisions, even if it was contrary to your own, but you knew that they had to make those. You see them rise up and start to live bigger.
Yeah.
And I think we take away that when we don't you know, acknowledge that kind of relationship. But woman was created to be a helper, you know, for man. We're to help them. So look for ways to, you know, make your husband live to the biggest he can and excel and experience life. Encourage him to be the best he can be. Give him a space to shine. You know, there was a sign hanging in my mom and dad's house. Love wasn't putting your heart there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. Mm-hmm. But in marriage, there's a lot of decisions to make. Lot of decisions. I mean, where are we going to live? The furniture? What are we going to have for dinner? Where are we going to go out for dinner? What movie are we going to... I mean, it's just like every day you're just assaulted with decisions. And the idea that you're going to have mutual agreement all the time is just preposterous.
Right.
It is not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's impractical. It's unworkable. And it sets you up for a lot of disappointment. Because things aren't mutual all the time. And we shouldn't expect them to be with two different people. So sometimes you might never agree on something. So who takes the lead? Why should it be you over your husband? Let him take the lead. And sometimes husbands don't want to be the leader. Women have taken over. Maybe we've made them feel inept at different situations, or we've made them feel that they can't do it. You know, one man told his one woman said she decided to acknowledge her husband as leader. She went home from the classes. She said, "You know what? I've really been usurping your role as leader in our family, and I really want you to be the leader. I want to acknowledge that." And he said that he felt that she never trusted him as a leader, because every time they had a family get together, instead of asking him to pray, she always asked someone else. See, I think sometimes, you know, letting someone know, you know, make sure you remember this when you're making this decision. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
telling them that they can't do it.
Right. Yeah. I know. Sometimes we're like making them second guess themselves, or making them feel like we're going to go against them, or, you know. But look at the men in, when they went to spy out the promised land, a lot of the men felt like grasshoppers trying to take over the land God gave them. You know, sometimes it is easy. And I look at that grasshopper, his eyes only go straight to the ground and see what's in front of him.
Right.
But a lot of men, it is hard to make decisions. And there's actually courses on how to make decisions and how to lead, because it is hard. And people do have to grow into that. And so I think it's really wise to help your husband grow into that. And even, I know that one time I needed to, and my husband had to, he had to make an appointment to see a specialist, and it was just too hard for him. He had too many obstacles. So I found out when he was going to be home. I made all the plans, the reservations. I got booked a hotel overnight because he had to go see the specialist, and I did everything, and all I had to do was get in the car, and that just made it so much easier for him, you know. And another time, my husband had to drive to Flint, and you know, he knew that I was behind him to drive 2 hours each way to work,
right?
Because he didn't want to uproot our family for a short time. And he had to know that I supported him, and I had to quit complaining and not complain about his long drive on the way home.
Right.
You know, because I had to be behind him to lead, you know. And sometimes though, you have to, there's some things that in your husband, while he's leading, you just can't do. I know another time you wanted to uproot our family and move to Korea for like 4 years.
Right.
And I knew that he'd be traveling in Korea, and I'm so close with my family, and I know the kind of family life I wanted my children to have. I never wanted to marry a naval officer. I mean, moving from place to place. I always felt like that establishing family and relationships with extended family was important to me. So I said, I am sorry, I can't do that. But my husband knew that I wasn't battling all of his decisions. And he knew that this was just something that I couldn't accept for my life or the life of our kids. And so we had to work around that. So sometimes you can't say that just because he's the leader, that every single time he makes a decision that affects your life in a huge way, that you have to just you know, follow along blindly either, right. because you're going to see things that he might not be thinking of.
Right.
And you're going to have
to have a mutual respect for each other.
Right.
You know, he's understanding where you're coming from.
Right. And making it work for both of you. And actually, when you have children, for all of you.
Yes.
And that is even more responsibility on the husband, because he does have a great responsibility not to uproot and do things that are going to throw the wife into mass chaos too in her life.
Yeah.
But even if your husband thinks you're more qualified to lead, he's still the leader. Mm-hmm. And so it's just to bring that those character traits out in him. I know there's some different projects that your husband can oversee. I go through them in the book. You can look them up. There's to make a family mission statement. You can brainstorm with him about what he feels that you know you want to stand for as a family, or to do family rules, you know, like different rules with the kids and everything, and with you guys, and you know, decision making. Some decisions can be really, you know, complicated. One time my husband wanted to change churches, and I just didn't want to change churches, and yet he felt so strongly about it that I just acquiesced to his leadership and just trusted God through it. Even though I didn't understand it, I still wanted to, you know, acknowledge that I felt like he wouldn't do such a thing capriciously, and it wasn't going to be as injurious to my family. And so I felt it really important to honor his leadership. And it really was a good thing that we did that move.
Okay.
So we found out later, sometimes you might not find out. Sometimes it might be a bad thing.
Right.
And then it's important that you realize that every leader is going to make mistakes. And that's when you have to zip it and not lord over your husband that he made a mistake.
Right.
And it is funny, because one time, we had my husband, because of his capacity at work, a lot of times he'd get paid in stock. Okay. And so one time, after he had left a company for so many years, the stock was at a high number, and he felt like we should sell it. And I said, oh, I really don't think that we should sell it. I think we're going to take a loss if we sell it now. We should just wait. And I said, but whatever, you know. And he ended up selling it. And we did lose a lot of money in that process, because I think the next week it went really high. And I never said anything, because I know I could have had been wrong just as much as he could have been wrong. It wasn't anything that we had in our hand, or we like. It wasn't, and even if it was, you can't go back for something, so that it doesn't make sense to make a big deal out of those things that you can't go back on. But it was interesting, because about, probably about, let's see, 20 years later, we were teaching a Sunday school class on marriage at a church. And my husband actually brought that up, and he said, you know, even when I cost us a lot of money by making the wrong decision, I think it was really showed me a lot that my wife never said anything about it.
Right.
So, I mean, even if it was just to get something on the books that he would remember 20 years later, that was worth the loss.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty, you know, they notice, and people notice if you're going to call them out every time they make a mistake. And you know, we can make mistakes just as well if it would have gone our way. So we just have to be careful that we're not, you know, rubbing someone's nose in their mistakes as they're trying to step out and lead.
Right.
You know, it's hard enough.
Yeah.
So anyways, there are some times, and I talk about it in the book, where I just had to, I had to say, no, I can't do this. Another time we had purchased a lot and we were going to build a house, and I could never build a house. It's just, I just can't do that. I can rebuild a house from an old house, but I can't do that whole building process. It's just, I'm not good at it. Right. I can't see things before they're done.
Right.
It's just a struggle to me. I don't want to count nails.
Same way.
Yeah, it's just, so it was funny. We had bought the lot, and I was just so nerved up over it that a couple of days passed, and I just went right to the builder, the place where we purchased the lot, and I said, I'm sorry, I cannot buy this lot. This is going to ruin me. I can't even stand the thought of it for the last 24, 48 hours. And they ended up ripping up my check and everything, but I told my husband, I am so sorry. This, I just cannot do this. So if you both can't do it, you just can't do it, right? But one of some of the ways that you can help your husband is to be a good follower. You know, if he makes a decision and he makes a mistake and picks the wrong movie, picks the wrong dinner, or even a more costly mistake. Mm-hmm. He buys something that loses a lot of money,
right,
or anything like that. We just have to be a good follower, and mm-hmm. we have to understand and be gracious, you know. Mm-hmm. And don't criticize or undermine your decisions, like his decisions, in front of people saying, boy, did he blow it with that decision.
Right.
You know, and let him lead and look what he did.
Yeah.
You know, a man has a very delicate ego. We have to be building it up.
Yeah.
And if there's a mistake that he made, don't concentrate on the mistake. Go find some of the stuff that he decided right and concentrate on that.
Yeah.
And choose us as a couple. I love that in that movie, Family Man, Kate and Jack, they're this married couple.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate kind of says to Jack, she goes, Jack, what are you doing? All of our lives, we wanted to build this house, and we're going to, you know, she said, I could see me working in the garden and repainting the deck. We were going to grow old in this house and have holidays here, and our mm-hmm. grandchildren were going to come here, but things change. And Jack, if you need this, if you really need this, I'll take these kids from a life they love. I'll take myself, and I'll move to the city. And that's what her choice was. I'll move to the city. I'll do that because I love you. And that's more important to me than our address. I choose us.
Right.
So I like that.
Yeah.
You know, that her ideal was to live in the country. And he all of a sudden wanted to live in the nearby city. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to stand between I choose us.
Yeah.
And it means that you encourage him to make decisions without fearing. And mm-hmm. the success of a relationship does not lie in the perfection of each decision, but in growing together through the good decisions and the bad ones.
Right.
There's going to be good ones. There's going to be bad ones, individually and as a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's really wise to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that supported her husband through several failed attempts at businesses, mm-hmm. and then he had a business that really took off. So,
okay.
Because she kept supporting him,
right.
and she didn't rub his face in it and make him reticent to step out in a new venture because he blew a couple of the first ones. But respect your husband's position. Joab was really a strong man by King David's side. But when David listed his mighty men in his life, Joab mm-hmm. wasn't in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that really concerned me. I'm like, why isn't Joab in there? He's like everywhere in David's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a really thorough study, and I realized that Joab only obeyed David when he went along with him.
Mm.
When he agreed with him, he obeyed him. When he didn't agree with him, he didn't obey him.
Okay.
And you know what? We don't want to be that kind of person, or that kind of person that's acknowledging leadership only when we agree.
Right.
Then you might as well lead.
Right.
I mean, you're, you know,
mm-hmm.
stand as one. And of course, especially when you're raising kids, you better have a united front, because they'll try to go to each one of you and, mm-hmm. you know, divide and conquer.
Right.
Get you to say yes when your husband said no, or get you know, vice versa. So it's really important that you do have a united front. Like, a lot of times we don't agree on decisions, but we'll talk it through, we'll make a decision, and we'll come out as one.
Right.
Like, that's our decision. Yeah. You know, we don't say, oh, it's, you know, his decision, not mine.
Right.
And, you know, quantify it or anything, but we'll just come out and say, no, this is what we decided. We're going to spend Thanksgiving with this family.
Right.
And next thing, we don't say, well, he wants to, and
right.
I want, you know.
Right.
We don't divide as a couple. We stick together.
Right.
And voice your opinion. I always have an opinion. I told my husband, you're not married to a decorative vase. I have an opinion about everything. You can help change my mind, but I definitely have an opinion. But, you know, try to be positive and uplifting, and consider all the facets of the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Don't live a self-consuming life, because then your opinion isn't going to be very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's only about you, and
right.
then your opinion really shouldn't even be factored into any decision anyway. So
mm-hmm.
live a life where you're, you know, you have wise insight, you
mm-hmm.
know, and change your mind sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when recently, I think I shared that my husband made a purchase, we had totally agreed against it, and the whole way it was done was wrong. And
mm-hmm.
after that was acknowledged, then as far as going back and making, you know, returning that thing
mm-hmm.
or anything, it didn't make sense. I started to see why it was an okay decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said, you know what? Yeah, the way it was done wasn't right, because we weren't united.
Mm-hmm.
So we really did spiff up our commitment to that process. Mm-hmm. But I did understand and look at the other side of the reasoning and agree that my husband did make the right decision, mm-hmm. you know, but I just think the process needed to be a little bit more polished where we both came up with the same mind before it was done.
Right.
So we got that all straight out. But, and watch the way you voice your opinion. Sometimes it's just like, you know, you have to remember, it's your opinion. It's not the benchmark. It's not the mandate. It's not the demand, you know.
Right.
It's an idea, especially as your kids get older. It's so funny because you always see your kids and you want to give them all the things that took you mm-hmm. so many years to learn so mm-hmm. they can skip the process of pain, you know. And yet you raise your kids and you taught them how to make good decisions. Right. And a lot of times it's like, well, you know, what I considered or what you might want to think about, you mm-hmm. know, have you thought about? And, you know, give your opinion. It's nice to mm-hmm. have different opinions, but don't make it, you know, be something that you expect everyone to change their mind based on your opinion.
Right.
I know one time, I mean, I really love my mom's opinion mm-hmm. about everything. You can tell I talk mm-hmm. so much about her mm-hmm. in the class. But I remember one time she goes, well, you didn't do it the way I suggested. And I said, yeah, well, I don't do everything you suggest because if I did everything you suggested, that'd be you and not me. And I'm still me. So I had some other things to consider. And we laughed about it. But it is true. Like, if someone's going to do everything the way you think, then they're going to be you and not them.
Right.
So we
right.
have to respect their personhood yes. and the other things that they're considering to make good choices mm-hmm. that we don't know.
Right.
You know, sometimes people just aren't able to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes they just might not have the power to mm-hmm. do things the way that we see it, or they mm-hmm. might not be able to because of their personality. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different factors in making decisions.
Yeah.
And watch your attitude. I think that means maintaining a respectful attitude is really important. Mm. But, I mean, I think it's a real blessing to, you know, have our husbands assume the leadership and to not give them a little escape route from taking on that responsibility, but to really include mm-hmm. them in making the decisions, encouraging them. Don't make it, competitive. And there'd be less arguments and contentions over things because, you know, it's like little kids when they're fighting for their space. Mm-hmm. A lot of times my kids would be fighting for their space and until I gave them their own space. Okay, no, that's Jesse's area, that's Hannah's area. Gave the girls each a craft area
right.
and taught them to respect each other's area. Daniel had his Lego set up over there, that's his area.
Mm-hmm.
And you found that they didn't fight for their space anymore because they had their space,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think a lot of times in marriage relationships, people are fighting for the right to be heard because they're not being heard,
mm-hmm.
you know? And a lot of times men are fighting for control because they have no control in that relationship. So I think that a lot of times when you give that over, then it lessens the arguments and stuff like that too. So my mom always said, two heads make a monster. Mm-hmm. And it's true. We all know women who look and act like monsters. There's two types of powers. There's the power of headship and the power of influence. And influence, a lot of times, can be even stronger than the power of the decision maker.
Right.
So we want to use our influence and not have it be undervalued. I mean, we've seen people that have changed nations with their influence.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sarah influenced Abraham to have a baby with her servant, and that started the Jewish-Arab conflict that's still going on today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we need to have the power of influence and use it effectively. But they will make mistakes. When I was a legal assistant, I had signature powers on my boss's checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because he trusted that anything that I wrote a check for would be something that he would have wanted me to write a check for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that influence is really important. A lot of times my husband was traveling. I had to make a lot of decisions, but I never made a decision where I didn't consider what he would have wanted me to do in his mm-hmm. absence. So mm-hmm. we have to be really wise about that. A lot of times I would ask my husband if I was unsure about what he would want. And sometimes he said no. And, you know, I had to live with that too.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we have to learn that if we give our husband the leadership, a lot of times we won't agree with them, but if we respect them, that we are going to live out the advantages of that. Mm-hmm. Some of that was that, I mean, my husband, we didn't have a lot of money when we first had our kids. We were broke as a joke. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was just a lot of things. I sometimes would run out of gas because we just were out of money.
Right.
And, but with all the juggling and all the tough calls that my mm-hmm. husband did make, and a lot of things we forego, you would have mm-hmm. to forego. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get to get a lot of, you know, clothes or any of the little extras.
Mm-hmm.
And with the result of that, we were able to stay out of debt and get out of debt quicker. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have all that hanging on us when it was time to put our kids in school. So right. I think a lot of those things ended up in balancing out some of my extravagances mm-hmm. by keeping me, you know, him saving so that we could do the things that we had in mind. And then we right. would brainstorm about what our priorities were in the process
right.
and work in a few of the other things yep. too. So, I mean, women, we go through extremes to find self-fulfillment, but a lot of times we deny our husbands the fulfillment if they were allowed to protect us and our families in some way. Mm-hmm. I've heard it said that there's two ways to get close to somebody. One is to do something for them, and the mm-hmm. other one is to let them do something for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take the way of the ability of the husband to do something for you,
mm-hmm.
you're going to rob yourself of some of the closeness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, because we talked about before, your heart, your treasure will be, your heart will be where your treasure is. That word treasure means deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone's depositing into your life, they're going to love you more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that because we're so independent, capable, efficient ice women, mm-hmm. that we don't let our husbands think that we need them.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel so useless that they kind of isolate and they don't feel as important to us, and we lose so much closeness in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is really, you know, and it's not even a matter of can you live without them? Because we'll all live without anything we have to live without as long as we can.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want to live without right. them? And so you really have to be creative and find ways to let your husband know how much he means to you and how important he is to you and what the things that he does for you are, mm-hmm. you know, what they mean to you. And you mm-hmm. have to find ways that he can do things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him to do little things for you. Ask his advice. Ask him to pray with you for big decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, say, would you mind praying for me? What do you think about this? Start to really look for ways to invite him into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually will be questions where you say, would you mind doing this for me? Or, you know, what do you think about this situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did you find about this? Or, you mm-hmm. know, and just allowing his input and inviting it and making your life a platform
mm-hmm.
where he knows he brings wisdom and that his wisdom sought after by you.
Mm-hmm.
That is something my husband is sought after for his wisdom everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something, if I don't purposely do it, mm-hmm. I won't do it.
Right.
So I have to be thinking about it
right.
to ask his opinion about things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I am, I'm so glad because he does really round out my feelings. You know,
mm-hmm.
even some of the things where we'll be really busy and I'll think, oh, I'm not going to have time to talk to him about that. But then when I do, you know, find time to put the brakes on and talk to him about mm-hmm. it, he'll add a dimension that I haven't even thought of, or mm-hmm. it'll just, you know, show me an opposing view even sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. Now, Dr. Phil, when he describes the role of the man in the family, he says the role of protector means to protect his wife's self-esteem and self-worth as well, and guarding things that would threaten the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our husbands are innately very protective,
mm-hmm.
and they have some instincts that are really strong, and if they're, you know, asked, they could give you some really good insights on protecting your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really good. Even when I was telling my husband I wanted to do this little luncheon for some of the women in my life that have impacted my life,
mm-hmm.
and I said, I don't know if I'll do it. going to be a lot of work and everybody's mm-hmm. busy and we're traveling. And he says, just do it. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that climate changes so fast. Mm-hmm. In a few more years, if you decide to do it, you might not even be able to have the same people and you'll be so sad.
Right.
So just having that inspired me to, you know, light the candle and put a pick on my butt and get moving on it, you know, is good.
Yep.
But if you haven't asked your husband to help you lately, ask for help with groceries, things that you can't reach, things that mm-hmm. he could fix.
Right.
You know, ask him for advice. Ask him if he'd help you out when you're overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him to pray with you. But we need to choose to lean on our husbands. Even if you can handle them, we need to show them that we need them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're inviting chivalry into your relationship. And if you want to have a chivalrous husband, you have to invite that chivalry in mm-hmm. and let him protect you in some mm-hmm. things. So a lot of times if I have to make a hard phone call, I go, Gary, can you do that call? They won't run over you like they will with me, you know. And if there's something that's really tough, he will do the call for me, and it's nice, right. you know. Mm-hmm. I love how the Amplified Bible expands the word respect. This is how it defines the word respect from, it's the New Testament, from the Greek, that would be.
Mm-hmm.
That she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates, esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly.
Wow.
I mean, put those verbs and adjectives on a note card and post it up, and mm-hmm. they'll let that challenge you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, he's called to provide for his family. Give him opportunities to provide and be a homemaker. To make your house a home is more than just funding it with cash. A woman can make the house a home. Did you ever go to a house where it's just guys? Yeah. It is so different. Yes, I mean, even when we were looking for a cabin, I would go into some houses and like all these things were hanging on the wall and all these animals. And I'm just like, Gary, promise me we get a cabin. We are not having this look like a scary place for my grandkids to come. Man cave, you know. But it's just different. Put those touches, you know, mm-hmm. the little thing that smells good and stuff right. that a man might not put, but he's going to really appreciate yes. because yeah. that's the touch that makes it really homey
mm-hmm.
and makes a place for your family to relax and enjoy, you know. Yeah. This time of year, when my kids are home, I'd always put some nuts and a nutcracker around the table so we could all crack nuts and talk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just those nice things that you can do as a woman, you know. Developing your talents and your gifts and then putting them with your husband's talents and gifts and making mm-hmm. your home and your marriage strong. But I like Anne Marie Slaughter. She was a professor of politics and international affairs at Princeton. She's big, mm-hmm. you know, and she is the mother of two teenage boys. And she said in an article that says why women can't have it all, she said that she wanted the world in which, and Lisa Jackson's words, to be a strong woman, you don't have to give up the things that define you as a woman.
Mm.
So that means, you know, respecting, enabling, and celebrating the full range of women's choices. Empowering yourself doesn't mean rejecting motherhood mm-hmm. or eliminating the nurturing or feminine aspects of who you are.
Right.
We will properly focus on how we can help all Americans have productive lives and valuing the people as much as the success we seek. Mm-hmm. So anyways, make your house a home and look for little ways, you know, get a little more organized, get a little more thrifty, try a new recipe, you know, mm-hmm. it's just right. fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be all the time. We juggle a lot of hats, but right. it is nice to put a little attention onto that, mm-hmm. you know. But a lot of times if you work at a paying job or at professional skills, you know, don't forget that successful marriage and being a good parent are still the most important things that you value the most.
Mm-hmm.
And spend time with your family and in your home. Now, when you have to work outside of the home, one of the things I always try to help women do is mm-hmm. when you have to delegate your responsibilities, mm-hmm. it's still your responsibility. You know, you still want to have a decently clean home or,
mm-hmm.
you know, food cooked nice and people maybe, you know, helping your kids with their homework. Right. If you can't do it all, then at least try to get someone that's going to do it the most like you that you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't clean your house, get someone who's going to clean their house like you would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't cook, then go to Whole Foods and get your grilled chicken and cook like you would cook and get the help to do it. You know what I mean? So use what you have available. When Moses was issued a directive from God, he said that he didn't think he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then God said to him, "What's in your hand?"
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Because
a lot of times I'm just like, I don't think I can do this. And then I just think to myself, okay, what do you have? What do you have to make something out of it?
Right.
And just make what you can, you know, and be a little creative, and you can fill in some of the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty nice. So maybe you can't serve a dinner made from scratch, but you can throw something in the crock pot, you know, something. Maybe you can't sew or make curtains, but you can pick up some inexpensive flowers to add warmth to your home while you're in the supermarket or anything, you know. We always make excuses why we can't do what we want for our families, and it's kind of like a cop-out to get us from doing anything, you know. But I'm inspired by people who plan ahead and cook and freeze things. It just use a little creative, you know, ideas to get closer to what you want for your family, you know, instead of wasting so much energy on, you know, giving up. Now, setting your pace is something I love because I love to run, and you have to set your pace.
Right.
A lot of times, it was funny because at one race, when I was first starting to run, I was shown on TV and I was right in the front at this 12-mile run.
Right.
So there I was, this new runner, all shiny, happy, like a new penny. And as soon as that gun went off and I started running, I thought I was going to get trampled.
Okay.
I was definitely not supposed to be the head of the pack.
Right.
It was not comfortable. It was not my pace.
Right. Right.
It was going to kill me. And so I had to settle myself down and get on the outskirts so I didn't get run over and find my pace.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think some of us just have to find our pace.
Right.
We're trying too hard to stay in that forefront, and we're knocking ourselves out. We're not enjoying our life.
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, we're just trying to run a race that we don't have the ingredients to run.
Right.
We don't even have the physiology to do it.
Right.
Or we could be way in the back and feel like we're losing. We just have to pick up the pace a little bit because we're not utilizing all the skills that we do have to run a decent pace.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting ourselves, we're giving ourselves way too much, and we're not accomplishing what we could be either.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to be in the way front of the pack where we, that's way more making us very uncomfortable, but we don't want to be underachieving what we could be either. We need to find our pace and set our pace and stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Newton's first law of motion applies to my life. An object in motion stays in motion, you know, and at the same speed in the same direction unless acted on. When I start, you know, a good pace, I can usually keep it going. You know how it is when you get this roll up your sleeves thing and you're like, okay, this place needs some loving care, you know, and we just give a little attention here and we give a little attention here, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, you find yourself before you're going to bed, you're finishing up the dishes, and it's inspirational when you start to really run your race the right pace, you know. But sometimes if you take a break, though, and you take too long of a break, you can't catch up. It is just harder to do real life. For me, oh, it's just like there were periods of time where if I was taking too long of a break, it was hard for me to catch up. I didn't actually enjoy the break, knowing that he have that hard of a time to catch up.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think it's also unfavorable. A lot of people wait for their spouses to give them a break. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's even reasonable or realistic. So when I needed the break, I would try to get my break before my husband came home so that my break didn't mean he lost his break.
Right.
Because really, your husband's come home from work and you're dumping on him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, their husbands come home from work and they're exhausted, and the women are like, oh, glad you're home, I'm out of here, and they're gone.
Right.
And so now their husband needed a break, and they needed a break, but they didn't consider their husband's break. They just ran out.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just a recipe for a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to find a break to you know, I'd say, well, you know what? I'll take my kids grocery shopping with me. So when my husband comes home, he can take the break he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because even though I did that to kind of help my husband not have to, you know, to give me the break, it ended up giving me a break in the long run because my kids were so much better because I had to train them to go out in public so much that they turned out to be so much easier.
Right.
So, because I had to train them. There was no, like, getting away with anything when you're out with five kids grocery shopping.
Right.
Everybody's saying, are those y'all yours? And I'm sorry, I had to be a little smart aleck and say, no, I borrowed them to go grocery shopping. Of course they're all mine. Well, you don't just go pick up kids when it's time to go grocery shopping. So you can push and pull a cart. But... anyways, you know, marriage needs to be 100-100. It's not 50-50. I love these scripture verses. It says, if your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find yourself and me.
Right.
And that's Matthew 10:39 in the Message. And self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's the opposite of what we hear.
Yeah.
Matthew 16:25. And in John 12:24-25, it says, listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it's never more than a grain of wheat. But if it's buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. The same way anyone who holds on to life, just as it is, destroys that life. But if you let it go and are reckless with your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. That that was on my wall for so long. I love that scripture verse because it is so against what we think. You know, give and you will receive. A large quantity, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your pocket. The standard you use to give is going to be what comes back to you. And that's in Luke 6:38. And it's more blessed, it makes you happier, and more to be envied to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. You know, I think becoming really realistic about what a break should mean is really helpful. At one point in my life, a break was like a Calgon, you know, I'd have that Calgon bath commercial in my mind where it's like, take me away.
Right.
And we have this great break in mind, but some people, I'm like, you're not getting to Chicago for the weekend. You know, you're not getting on a vacation. Sometimes your biggest break can be to stir up a General Mills cup of coffee, put on your headphones, and scrub the floor while talking to a friend. That was probably my favorite break for a long time.
Right.
And I just had to be, well, I'm drinking my coffee, I'm scrubbing my floor, I'm talking to my friend. That was my break.
Right.
You have to be reasonable. If you're not going to get a big break, then savor the little breaks. The 5 minutes extra your kid sleeps through their nap. Or, you know, getting up early to have that little quiet time.
Right.
Sometimes it's being reasonable and realistic. You know, we were camping and some of the people were saying that we were camping with are just like, I'm taking a nap. And I heard the one of the couple say, and then I heard the other person say, no, I'm taking a nap. And I looked over at him and I said, excuse me, you have kids here. No one's taking a nap.
That's right.
Like, quit looking for a break. Throw yourself in, you know, and and you'll get some breaks in between all the work and stuff.
Right.
But quit trying to get your own breaks, you know. Take advantage of the ones you have and soak them up. You know, I just think that, you know, get some things done and not lay your break on your husband.
Right.
Your break shouldn't come by your husband losing his.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's not good. So even if you have to give up and buy a few less groceries and pay for a babysitter to get a break for an hour, do what it takes to not put your break on your husband.
I could get up early and have my coffee when everybody was asleep.
Yeah, that's what I had to do.
And I could plan my day.
Yeah.
And I could just relax and that was my break.
When I used to get up, if I got up late and the kids were getting up with me, that was just so hard. I had to get up before everything.
Yeah.
To have that quiet time, huddle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was nice.
Yeah.
And see, that's another thing. A lot of times, like, some of the moms will say to me, oh, I need more time with my husband. I'm like, okay, your kids up until 10:30 at night. Like, put the kid in bed. Mm-hmm. Your kids need to be in bed at 8 or 8:30. It's good for your kids. It's good for your sanity. Yep. You get a break at night to regroup. Your husband gets a quiet time. Your marriage gets a quiet time. Yep. And your kids get routine and order and the right amount of sleep. And it's a win-win-win.
Yeah.
So sometimes find the reason why you need such a break. And you might be finding that it's something you need to tend to.
Right.
You know, oh, I don't get a break. My kids don't need a nap. You bring them to daycare. They're all laying on a mat, reading a book for the quiet time.
Right.
Don't tell me you can't get your kid to have quiet time and you could go bring them to a daycare. They'll get 20 of them to do it.
Right.
Like, work on getting a break by putting, getting them. So you have to find your breaks inside of your life sometimes.
Yeah.
I used to say, make your life so good you don't need a break from it. That's what you really want to work at.
Right. Yeah.
Then if you get a break, it's nothing necessary for your sanity. It's just a little extra cherry on the top. You know? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, make a ruling decision too. I think I love having a ruling decision. You know, do you know how to play pinochle?
No.
Okay, so when you play pinochle, there's one suit that's named Trump.
Okay.
And that Trump, it becomes the master and the winner over all the other cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I like having this ruling decision. I kind of operated that in the same way. I wanted a happy home.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I couldn't have a happy home making dinner, I wouldn't make dinner. I'd make Cheerios. Like and it didn't happen very often.
Right.
But I did have that ruling decision. I want a happy home. So when my husband came home and things started to get heated up, I was able to back off because I knew that that was thwarting my Trump decision of having a happy home.
Right.
And so it enabled me to put other things in perspective and realize, nope, this isn't going to go along with having a happy home. So we're going to just, this one is going, that decision is going, and we're going to have the happy home instead.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for example, if the kids had friends over that were making their sisters and brothers miserable, I'm like, nope, they're not coming over. We're having a happy home.
Right.
You know, so I just think that you want your kids to be kind and thoughtful. And so that trumped a lot of our activities.
Right.
So our activities weren't all centered around my kids.
Right.
I wanted to have thoughtful and kind, considerate kids. So a lot of our activities centered around them demonstrating thoughtfulness and kindness and consideration to other people, because that was my ruling decision.
Right.
So I think it's really wise to sit down and make a few ruling decisions for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the end of your life, what do you want people to say about you? What do you want them to say about your marriage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that can kind of dictate how you're going to live during your day.
Right.
And could you have that foremost in your mind?
Yeah.
And so that's going to trump the other things. So, and what about your personal decision about who your husband is in your family? What do you want him to be? You have to ask yourself that question. Like, what role do you want him to play in your home?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask yourself that question. And then that should trump some of the ways that you live otherwise that don't support that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's a mystery how we become one with our spouse and learn to love each other even with our differences. I just think it's a beautiful thing that two people really do become one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the event that makes you one. It's really more of a process. Here's a few things that really work to becoming really more one with somebody that you think differently about with so much of the time. Mm-hmm. But you care about what your husband cares about.
Right.
You know, if it's important to you, it's important to me. And I think that if you can carry that for anybody, for your kids, for your friends, I think that's a beautiful thing. Because have you ever had something really on your heart and you shared it with someone and they acted like you didn't even say anything? And it was so important to you. And it's like they didn't even realize how important it was to you.
Right.
And it's kind of a letdown.
Right.
You want someone to understand, you know.
Feel validated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How important that is to you. So we want to care about what the people we love cares about. You know, it might not be a big deal to you where your, you know, future daughter-in-law say it's going to, you know, what color dress or what kind of dress, but maybe she wants to talk through it with you and it's huge with her.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to, because it's important to her, you have to make it important to you if you want that close relationship.
Absolutely. Yep.
And also, where else do you want people to go? like a lot of times our husband might, you know, want to talk through something to us that we don't get, mm-hmm. but yet, you know, if you don't talk with them, who do you want them to talk about stuff with? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So right. we want to know what's important to them.
Right.
Also, we want to feel our husband's emotions, even if they hold things inside, which a lot of times our husbands do. Mm-hmm. So we want to try to feel what he's feeling and mm-hmm. to try to get in to understand what he's talking and what mm-hmm. he's going through for his day, mm-hmm. you know, what he's facing. Sometimes my husband might even say, the other day he was leaving and he said, I'm going to go to this appointment, and on the way I'm going to make that phone call from work. And I'm thinking, what phone call from work? And then I kind of could have let that pass, but because I was just doing this mm-hmm. lesson, and I was like, what do you mean, what phone call are you making? And he then shared a few more sentences, and then I was able to determine mm-hmm. that it was something that he was really nervous about. Mm-hmm. So I was able to pray with him before mm-hmm. he left, and I just think that is so mm-hmm. awesome of how couples should work together, right. but it takes a lot of extra effort mm-hmm. and a lot of insight and even going underneath the surface with something that you could have just left at the surface.
Right.
So I think it's good. Try to anticipate needs and meet them. Touch base with each other during the day if you can. I know this is a really hard one for my husband mm-hmm. because of his work schedule. Mm-hmm. But even a lot of times I've just put like 1-4-3, I love you, you know, like on the phone or something. Right. Or, you know, thinking of you, praying for your meeting, you know, hope you're doing good, call me later. Right. You know, but whatever. It is nice to... It takes 1 second to throw a text or something.
Absolutely.
You know, or, you know, see an article and you can send them a little, you know, cute thing to make them smile.
Right.
But how are you one? Think of ways to show your oneness. Be consistently wonderful, I say. Mm-hmm. What can your husband count on you for? Like, there are certain things I want him to count on me for. I want mm-hmm. him to know that I'm excited to hear from him. Mm-hmm. So when he calls, I don't like to just do the drudgery phone calls.
Right.
I'm like, hey, you know, I never let the, I can say pretty much never. I can't think, I just do not let myself go that, you know, hey, what do you want? You know, it's more like, hey, how are you doing? Right. You know, it takes 1 second.
Yeah.
And just, you know, oh, you're calling me nice, you know, just something. Mm-hmm. And rejoice with them when he's rejoicing. Be sad if he's sad mm-hmm. about something. Give them the benefit of the doubt when necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, just expect the best. Even if you get the worst sometimes, just mm-hmm. don't let that stop you from expecting the best, mm-hmm. you know. And try to turn his mood around if he's low. You mm-hmm. know, tell him a cute little story or something to make him laugh. And be trustworthy with his secrets. Mm-hmm. You know, men don't have a lot of places where they unload their secrets. They need to know that, you know, he can trust you, mm-hmm. you know. And look for the best in him and disregard the worst in him. Mm-hmm. He needs someone to be in his corner, and that's us.
Right.
And make time for what's important to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times I'll be caught up in something, and my husband will want me to sit down and watch The Voice or watch something with him, and I'll just put my stuff aside and just do that because I value the time with him.
Right. Yeah.
Although sometimes when I sit still too long, I fall asleep. But
I do too.
I hate that.
I know.
I really have to start knitting again.
Early.
I know, me too. Yeah. It's so hard. Yeah. But don't cater to your emotions either. Cater to facts. I think sometimes we cater to our emotions too much or how mm-hmm. we feel. But so be consistent. Now, when you run the marathon, you hit the wall at mile 18, so you know it's in front of you. You know mm-hmm. it's coming. It's proven fact. Most mm-hmm. people hit it. You want to give up, but you have to run through it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some walls in life. In fact, there's some researchers that say that, you know, there's life events on a stress scale. And they're all given different stress numbers. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that? Moving is a certain stress. Death of a spouse. Right. Death of a loved one. You know, there's 41 events on that list. So you're just destined to trudge through life hitting all these impassable roadblocks on mm-hmm. the way that are mm-hmm. going to bring you all these stress. But God's plan for our life is so different. Mm-hmm. It's to bring you peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. He wants to do supernaturally, abundantly, above all you could ask, think, dare to dream and desire,
mm-hmm.
according to his power, infinitely beyond your highest prayers, thoughts, and dreams. In fact, he even said he wants your days to, on earth to be like days on in heaven.
Yeah.
So the key to getting most out of this life is to live with God's power instead of our own. And rest and give, have his super on your natural. Have his peace through the storms.
Mm-hmm.
And we can sorrow when we lose someone, but we don't sorrow like people that have no hope.
Right.
You know,
right.
We can go through grief, and but we can be of good cheer because he's overcome the world.
Right.
He said, you will go through tribulation mm-hmm. in the world. You're going to have a lot of it. It's right. guaranteed.
Yep.
But be of good cheer. He's overcome it.
Yep.
And he's made us to be overcomers.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to hold his hand tight and get through some of those storms.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to keep looking up
yep.
and let him be our strength and our source. And, you know, and we have to let him take situations and help us to see things from his perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you know, rather than teenagers can learn to contribute, and instead of depression, you can be, have a reflect, make that reflection
mm-hmm.
and find ways to think of others and looking for God's plan for your marriages instead of the 7-year itch and all this,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of this empty nest syndrome, we can be like, send our kids out like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, sending them out to hit the target
mm-hmm.
and finding God's new purpose in our transitions.
Right.
You know, we can look for what he has for us at each stage.
Yep.
Even as we're getting older, it's just like asking God, okay, where do you want me now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a new assignment, and he's got it, and it's exciting to live
mm-hmm.
with that kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, purpose and yep. and intentional living, and not to be too hard on yourself, but yet to know that God wants your life to be exciting and invigorating, and
mm-hmm.
doesn't want you to be depressed or sad. And yet we feed so much of that with our, you know, songs and the way that we talk, and it's just yeah. not good.
Right.
We have to really live with purpose in our life. I really love that my son just wrote a book on purpose, and he's bringing it to a lot of the colleges, universities,
oh.
and even to some of the people,
mm-hmm.
the adults, that are just going through this workbook and finding out like what they could be doing right where they're at to live out purpose in their life,
right.
purpose,
Neat.
Intentional. Yeah. It's good. But pace yourself and address your unique situation. I think everyone has unique situations.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I put a whole part of my book here to women who stay home and women who work. They have to deal with the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is be sure your choice supports and not undermines your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're working, make sure that that is supporting your marriage relationship. If you're staying at home, make sure that it supports and doesn't undermine your relationship
right.
with your husband.
Right.
You know, don't hold it against him either way.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel justified in putting pressure on your husband because you're working
mm-hmm.
or because you're not working.
Right.
Either way, it works. It's the mm-hmm. same thing in a different way. You know, woman who stays at home, she might get overwhelmed with tending the kids. And like we were saying, she might want to just rush out when her husband comes home.
Right.
And same thing when a woman's working. She might mm-hmm. want to come home and think she needs the break.
Right.
But her husband's coming home at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just, you know, and also remembering to keep the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the end of it all, your kids are going to leave the home and make their own lives. Build your marriage relationship and your friendship so mm-hmm. that the empty nest are the good years of your
mm-hmm.
life, you know. So, and don't blame your spouse for your schedule, you know, and adjust your expectations and live out your priorities. Control the pressures at home and stop pressuring your husband. So, I know it's just make home purposefully a safe place for your husband and for yourself. The place where you get to hang your hat and be
mm-hmm.
refreshed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and rest up for the demands behind the closed doors, you
mm-hmm.
know. I always said, I know my husband's got a lot of demands in his life on him,
mm-hmm.
and I just wanted to make sure that they didn't come from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't want to be one of those things,
right.
you know,
right.
people demanding from him. Even when we had really little kids, he made a lot of decisions that created hardships for me, you know, like he decided when we had 5 little kids that he wanted to be a precinct delegate.
Wow.
So, okay.
Right.
I just, you know, that's something he wanted to do, is impact the society. And I supported them. And I think, you know, I think that did help him to become a better leader. And he learned some things. And, you know, I think it's just good that you let someone know that they want to do something for the community, that you support them. It's not just about you and your family all the time.
Right.
And sometimes I think it's good for the kids to see that they have to share their dad with the community too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that it's not just all about them.
Right.
Yeah. And that they have responsibility civically too.
Right.
So, and, you know, my husband, he has a very busy, busy schedule. And so a lot of times I am really a lot more understanding than most people, because I know with the number of emails he gets, I can't even imagine making him not check his emails for a long time.
Right.
It will just simply bury him.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think, like, men that are doctors or people that are always, you know, accessible, I think a lot of times we just have to be a little bit more understanding because of the demands, that we don't want to say, okay, every time you're with me, you know, you're going to have to pay catch up, you know, at work. So, and then there's times where I've told him, Gary, you know, you want to go out to eat, I really could have a million things to do. So if you're going to be on your phone, just go grab a carry out.
Yeah.
But if you want to put your phone down and talk, I'd love to go with you. So, either way, you know, it worked for me. So, and so there's sometimes when you aren't in the mood to sit there and look at a guy on the phone.
Yes.
So you just got to communicate.
Right.
But also, you know, I think important to recognize the purpose and value of your husband, regardless of the difference of position and salary too. Like, a lot of times there's women who make more money than the husband. And a lot of it is the attitude that you have for each other, and the value, and what you determine is success, you know?
Right.
So if someone could have a really high profile, you know, paying job, and their husband might have a job that's more like maybe a social worker or something where they're not making as much money, but the impact they're having on society is just as great.
Right.
But, you know, we don't want to, you know, have false values.
Right.
We have to decide what success means in our life and value the person based on their contribution, not based on the money that they make.
Right.
So, we want to cherish the moments. My mom always said, too many people let the moments of their life slip by unappreciated. And we do. We're all guilty of that. People are waiting for something. You know, when I graduate, when I finish this job, when I catch up with paying these bills, when this baby is potty trained, when this, you know, when I get a house.
Right.
But you know what? Enjoy your days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sum of the whole can't be greater than the sum of the individual parts, you know. Don't wait for those events to happen. Life isn't a dress rehearsal. Jump in and enjoy your life today. And find little ways that you can even make some of the things that you're doing more joyful, even if it's working or something that, you know. But I've heard so many people wish their kids to the next stage. I always told my kids when they were growing up, I'm like, if something ever happens to me, you can know that I soaked up my life so much I lived three lifetimes. Because, you know, I've just appreciated my days. Right. I've just learned that I'm not wishing my days away, you know, like fast-forwarding them and, you know, and ruefully undermining my day to look forward to a tomorrow that has its own inherent problems.
Right.
So, so I think that when you get married too, there's all unique challenges that you wish would go away. Oh, we don't have any money. We're both working. Oh, when one of us quits work, oh, and then this happens, when that happens. Pretty soon it's like, well, we'll wait till you retire. That's ridiculous. You just wished your whole life away.
Right.
You know, when my kids are gone, when my kids are here, you know, it's just, you just have to really love your days and look for the good in them, appreciate them. Because there's different seasons of life that are challenging. You cannot wish yourself into the next season because you don't know what those challenges are either.
Right.
So, and I think the same with big events. I really got mad. Like, people complain, just pay attention. People complain the most about the best events in their life. When they're moving, people are miserable.
Right.
I mean, I'm like, are you moving to a nicer house or are you getting evicted? They're usually moving to a nicer house or something that they picked. And they're miserable.
Right.
I'm like, don't just get robbed of all these happy moments, or right. people planning a wedding.
Well, I was just thinking a wedding.
I know.
Yeah.
They just, I told my kids, you want pink with purple polka dots, we'll make it happen. But, you know, here within your budget. But, I mean, right. if it starts getting that onerous, then set it down and pick it up when it's going to be fun again. You're having the biggest right. event of your life. Right. It should be fun.
Yes.
And if you're not having fun, something's wrong.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. or someone needs to be silenced, you know, or someone needs to be worked with, because right. that should be the most fun thing.
Yes.
And having a new baby, even.
Mm-hmm.
So many times we're not enjoying that stage. There's so much to enjoy mm-hmm. if you don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Right.
I think sometimes yeah. we expect too much from ourselves and we're not able to enjoy that right. new baby
yeah.
because we're not able to move slower and, mm-hmm. you know, and be available. Mm-hmm. So I think that you have to take steps not to let anyone rob you of your joy, and to purpose to enjoy the process mm-hmm. and those blessings that come with a little mm-hmm. bit of work. And look for the reason that this day is the time of your life, and live reflecting that awareness. Drive forward. The rear view mirror is very small. Quit looking back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make today a beautiful day that's worth remembering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ungratefulness robs you of blessings. Be grateful and find reasons to appreciate your days and the people in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your husband, your family. I mean, life is such a gift. I mean, just yeah. seeing different movies and seeing different friends that had catastrophic, life-changing decisions in a moment. And we just don't know what our days hold. And we just have yeah. to appreciate the people in
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Be
yeah.
thankful. Mm. Find even on your, with yourself. You know, so many people, I just think, don't give themselves enough credit. Mm-hmm. We're so busy looking at the magnifying mirror and seeing, you know, these little things that we magnify in our own lives that we just fail to appreciate who we are too.
Mm-hmm.
And I really found out, this is me in a tennis suit, this is me in a bathing suit. I mean, you know, some right. of the me's that you're not that happy about.
Right.
But you know what? This is who you are.
Right.
And you know what? Learn to love who you are when you wake up in the morning. Right. I was listening to Joel Osteen. He has the best talk about when you wake up in the morning. Like he said, what comes out of your mouth mm-hmm. at the end of this sentence, I am, is the framework of how you're going to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he said, when you say I am, you say, I am God's creation. Mm-hmm. I am God's handiwork. Right. I am, you don't finish it. I am old. I yeah. am tired.
Right.
You know, people just finish that sentence, and then guess what? When you say, I am old, you find ways that you're old. You say, right. I am tired, you find ways that you're tired.
Right.
You say, I am God's handiwork. You know what? I have gifts. I have talents.
Right.
I'm good at some yes. things.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you start looking at some things that you're good at.
Right.
They'll find you.
Yeah.
He said, what you say and what comes out of your mouth, those things will find you.
Yes.
So be yeah. careful, and then they will define you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it just was so, I listened to it 3 times because I thought, that is so beautiful.
Because mm-hmm.
when I fall asleep, I like to listen to something. So I've been listening to that every night.
Right.
I always fall asleep. But right. it's so good.
Yeah.
But don't be so hard on yourself and get so hung up on your imperfections that you're not enjoying your life.
Right.
Life is a gift.
Yeah.
God gave you all things richly to enjoy, it says. Mm-hmm. We're given all this beautiful world is for us to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to enjoy it. We're instead of looking for the reasons that we're not able to enjoy it, start looking for what you have to enjoy.
Yeah.
And that includes about ourselves. We're hardest on ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to, you know, live all the moments of our lives fully present, fully alive, giving ourselves some room. And don't hold people responsible for your happiness. It will sap your life of joy.
Mm.
Lay it down. Let it go. Give it up. Forget about it. Set people free. Live life so completely that when death comes like a thief in the night, there's nothing left for him to steal.
Right, right.
But, you know, in him in Jesus, it says we have perfect peace and confidence. We can be of good cheer. We can take courage. We can be confident, certain, undaunted. For he has overcome the world and deprived it of its power to harm us. And he has conquered it for us. You know, we can have peace in the middle of the storms.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see this. Life is such a parable that so many things that we can see in nature, but we see that eye of the hurricane,
mm-hmm.
and that little fun in the middle of a tornado, there's disaster all around, but there's a center that's calm. And that's mm-hmm. the kind of calm that we can have.
Mm-hmm.
It says that he will keep us in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both our inclination and its character, is stayed on him because we commit ourselves to him and lean on him and hope confidently in him. And so I just think that it's so powerful. Even watching some of the video from these last horrific hurricanes mm-hmm. and everything, and some of the way the people talk, you can just see that they have chosen to, you know, make the best out of a disastrous
right.
situation.
Right.
And they have looked and seen the good in those situations.
Absolutely.
Even when assaulted, like, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no excuse for us, really. We
mm-hmm.
can look and see, you know, God's hand and look for the good and look at what we have instead
mm-hmm.
of looking at what we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to change the trend. I love this article from Susan Venker. She is the author of The War on Men. And I copied the whole thing by permission in here. But
mm-hmm.
she was saying how, you know, people, the women were angry that a lot of the good men, they say, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily true. She said she spent 13 years examining social agendas about sex, parenting, and gender roles. She spoke with thousands of men and women. And she said that she always fell upon the men that said they are not getting married anymore. Because women are not women. She said that there's been a profound overhaul in the way that men and women interact since the sexual revolution.
Mm-hmm.
The women are the ones that have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they're angry, they're defensive. They've been raised to think of men as the enemy. They pushed men off their pedestal and they climbed up to think that that was rightfully theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, like we were saying before, a lot of women felt that women's rights meant that they should be like a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, the men have nowhere to go. She said, it's this dynamic, women are good and men are bad, that destroyed the relationship. That everyone's blaming the men when love goes awry. But she said, what if this problem is, hold on to your seats, women's faults? She said, you were not going to find it in the media because they're always browbeating the men.
Mm-hmm.
She said that the so-called rise of women has not threatened men. It just made them mad and undermined their ability to be self-sufficient in the hopes of supporting a family. Men want to love women, not compete with them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to provide and protect their families. It's in their DNA, but modern women won't let them. It's unfortunate for women, not men. Feminism serves men very well. They can have sex at hello and even live with their girlfriends with no responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's the women who lose. Not only are they saddled with the consequences of sex by dismissing male nature, they're forever seeking a balanced life. The fact is women need men's linear career goals and they need men to pick up the slack at the office in order to live the balanced life. So if men are slackers and they're retreating from marriage en masse, women need to look in the mirror and say, what role have I played to bring about this transformation?
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, there's good news. Women have the power to turn it around. All they have to do is surrender their femininity and let men surrender to their masculinity. If they do, marriageable men will come out of the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
But whether or not you blend some of the more traditional roles inside marriage, which a lot of times people do because
mm-hmm.
of, you know, different working situations, mm-hmm. it's paramount that we allow our husbands to operate as leader, protector, and servant, and that we realize that we're to be helper, respecter, and homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
When we follow God's order, there's peace and harmony. Our husband feels needed. We have praises that encourage his contributions. Let him know that you like when he's around. A lot of times I'll just tell my husband, I love when you're home. I do. Mm-hmm. I know he came home Monday. I didn't know he was coming home. And I said, oh, I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. So, and he loves to come home. It's his safe place where he's honored and a place where he feels special. And yeah. that's what a home should be.
Yeah.
And guess who gets to make it? We do. Mm-hmm. We make our homes what we mm-hmm. want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is just a great lesson. Next week is our last week, and we're going to cover problems and joy in the journey, which is really good. It's going to be really good.
Oh, good.